All right, so this is the second quick class that we've done on parenting. And so tonight we have these lovely ladies here to help us think through some of the aspects that go into organizing the home. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we get the kind of characteristics and requirements for officers in the church, elders and deacons. And in both of those lists, one of the things that is there is manages their household well. And so we have deacon and elder families here represented. These are families that we want you to already look to as examples. And hopefully tonight they'll help us think through what it takes to do that. And so I'm going to have each of you introduce yourselves with kind of just who are your kids? What kind of schooling do you do? Because that obviously affects how you organize things in your home. And just kind of how do you work outside the home? Have you at other times in your kids' lives? That sort of thing. And so, Shauna, we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, my kids are Faith. She's 14 and Hannah is 10. They both go to Mount Vernon Christian. And most of you know I am part-time here at church, kids director. I have worked outside of the house part-time since my children were born.
Kim?
I'm Kim Griffith. Ezra is 12, Eli is 14. And we've recently transitioned to Skagit Academy where they're going to school 2 days a week and then they're home 3 days a week doing their assignments. So that was a bit of a transition. I really never planned to be a homeschoolish sort of person, but that's what happened. Once they finished elementary school, I couldn't really get on to middle school, so at the public school. So they're doing that now, and that, of course, has changed how everything runs at home because they're home so much. But in a good way, just had to pivot a bit. And I've worked outside the home for a while. I was a real estate appraiser while Eli was a baby up until Ezra was born. I've worked at their elementary schools for a while. And then I've taught fitness classes at the Y and done personal training. And I'm not working that much right now, but I have worked more in the past. But not more than 20 hours, really. So,
yeah. That's me. I'm Esther. We have 6 kids. Henry is 16. Jack is 14. Ava is almost 13, Elle is 11, Gemma's 9, and Harris is 4. We homeschool. We have all the way through. It just kind of was one of those things that happened, and we liked it, and it worked. So, and I worked outside of the home. I did part-time kind of remotely until Henry was starting to move around, and it became impossible to keep track of him. I turned around and I didn't know where he was, so it didn't work anymore. And then I filled in at the doctor's office here and there, which is where I was working, until sometime when Jack was a baby, and it just became too difficult. I did some piano lessons one afternoon a week for a while, and I teach 3 people right now, but that's all that I've done for working outside the home.
All right. All right, so I'm going to ask the questions and kind of guide the conversation a little bit. They're going to do all the hard work. The first set of questions are around the aspect of balance. So the first question is, how and when do you find time to pray and study the Bible? Where do you start that with, of course, Kim?
Sure. I'm at a lovely time in my life where my children sleep now, usually till like 8 or 8:30 in the morning, so we get Jason off to work first thing, and then like by 7:30, and then I usually have like half an hour, 40 minutes to make coffee and do my Bible study. And so I'm in this, like, I read through the Bible last year, and it was so good that I just kept going. So I'm in my second year of doing that. So I do that in the morning before they wake up and pray that time, and sometimes during the day, you can pray anywhere, everywhere. And then Shauna and I read through John this past year, a chapter at a time, and Eli and I read James together. So I try to have multiple things, and I'm like got a book going that I read, and I don't know, I try to keep in the Word as much as I can. But the reading through the Bible in the year is really awesome. And I actually just wanted to share, because this morning I was in Isaiah 33, and 33:2 says, O Lord, be gracious to us. We long for you. Be our strength every morning, our salvation in time of distress. And it's just so great to be in the Word first thing in the morning to, like, set your mind on Him before everything else starts. And I know people have littles now that you can't always do that, but when you do have the time, I think it's kind of awesome to be with the Lord first thing in the morning, so.
Yeah, I agree with Kim. I also set my alarm. My kids don't sleep quite as late as hers.
Because they go to
Yeah, so I set my alarm for 5:30. I am also in doing the Bible mm-hmm. in a year reading plan, and that's really great. It gives you direction, you know, exactly what you're going to read every day. Prayer, you know, if there's time before my kids wake up, I will do that. I also, like Kim said, throughout the day, I like to take walks. I call my walks with Jesus. People probably think I'm crazy talking to myself down the street, but it's a good time. And then the one-on-one Bible reading that mm-hmm. Kim and I did was really great.
Yeah,
I just encourage
really
you if you could find another lady
uh-huh.
and meet once a week. There's no prep work. You meet 45 minutes mm-hmm. an hour. You read a chapter. You talk about it.
Yeah, it's like set questions mm-hmm. all the time. So, yeah, we really enjoyed that. And I would just always find things that, like, when you read things out loud, you wouldn't have found. Don't jump out at you the same way when you read them yourself. So there's mm-hmm. a lot of value there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just, I mean, prayer is something that you can just do all day mm-hmm. long. I mean, with your kids, without, and it's like Kim said, like, setting the tone in the morning with the Word or prayer, and even if I set my alarm and somebody gets up and needs me, you know, that's not like, that's okay,
right?
And you can catch up later in the day, or yeah. sometimes I put it on my Bible app and just listen to it while I'm folding clothes, but just being intentional, that's something mm-hmm. that has really helped me.
I think especially with so much, like, all the things that have been going on the past few years, like, to just, like, be with the Lord and listen to Him first thing in the morning, like, helps you push back mm-hmm. all the other craziness.
That would be my ideal.
Yes. when you're
but
older.
I have not gotten children that sleep, and most of my kids are up by 6:30. A couple of them will sleep till 7 now, and a lot of my babies were bad sleepers. So for myself, I have had to get creative with where I can fit Bible study in. It's kind of a seasonal thing for me in terms of where my kids are at. I was at one certain, I mean, like, there's the ideal, you get up and you do it in the morning when it's quiet, but since that never worked for me, I tried nap times, and was able to do that for a long time. That was, rather than taking a nap or cleaning the house, the first thing I would do is do my Bible study. But then we don't have those anymore. So I, rather than, like, so often we just want to give up and kind of throw in the towel. I tried to push through and realize that if I'm yelling at my kids so that I can study the Bible,
right.
It's probably not ideal. So I'm missing something in that. So
just be quiet.
Right, yes. So I realized in that moment, like, actually the devotions that I'm doing with them
yeah.
for school
mm-hmm. sure.
are from the Bible. So those lessons are for me as well as for them. And sometimes that was all I could fit in. There's also listening to scripture. There's lots of scripture that has been put to music that's lovely to listen mm-hmm. to. Praying, like Shauna said, you can pray all through the day. It's not, you don't have to have that set time if it just isn't something that you can work in. And so, because for me, I would try to set aside that time, and inevitably somebody would wake up early from their nap, or have a diaper problem that needed to be attended to, or something would happen. So it's just all part. Sorry, guys.
Which one of you was?
Yeah, so you just have to work it in where you can. Mm-hmm. The Bible doesn't give us a specific set of instructions of how to be in the Word. Mm-hmm. We're just supposed to be in the Word. So you can listen to scripture, listen to sermons, whatever you can do. I've had just verses that I've run through the same verse for the week and worked on scripture memorization, and that was what I could do that week. So there's lots of different ways to fit it in, especially when you have little people that don't sleep when you want them to. But the important thing is making sure that you are in it. Often we want to throw in the towel or just kind of say, well, there's grace, and then not even try. But I think we need to be trying, and that's what our kids see, and that's an important thing for them to see, is us at least trying to get into the Word wherever we can and then making the most of whatever those opportunities are.
All right, Esther, you mentioned family devotions, and so the second question has to do with just kind of what do family devotions look like, and how does that change over time when you have little kids, older kids? Kim, why don't you?
Sure. I wanted to talk about this because I think so, or at least for me, I thought it was like some perfect way of doing devotions and that that I had to do it. And so I like decided we were going to do the Westminster Catechism a few years ago. And Jason was like, okay. And I think it was a little too soon to start doing that and looking up all the verses. So we did pivot a bit. We looked through some of the, there's that New City one, and then we kind of just settled on doing this Proverbs. It's a much shorter devotional thing that goes through Proverbs. But I know that it's really important because I had, there's a title of an article that was on the Gospel Coalition, and it talked about that if you don't catechize your kids, YouTube will, and that really struck me with what I see like in the world and just how important it is to try and do something with them. And part of having like a set book or something is awesome, but then also like how you live out the Word in your life and in your family. And we talk about like loving the Lord and loving our neighbor and loving our neighbors. And we happen to have like a really great neighborhood that we live in, and we have a bunch of older ladies and a single mom, and the boys are really good at mowing the lawn for this older woman who can't afford to pay us, although she pays us in cake sometimes. But and there's a single mom across the street, and they'll do yard work for her. And like, what does it look like to live out the gospel and live out our faith and our devotionals, not just in words, but in deed and in truth? So it's a bit messy for me, but I think we've kind of figured out a way for right now, at least.
Speaking of messy, how do you get a break from the kids? How do you relax and get energized so that you don't just get kind of worn down? Esther, why don't you start?
So
she wouldn't get a break.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, we all want to know, actually, Esther.
I don't actually decompress the same way that a lot of people do. For me to get away or to go like do something fun actually stresses me out more because I know that there's stuff at home that I can't like really leave. It needs to get done, and I get home and it's still all going to be there. So Jim actually sometimes will just take the kids and go take them to the park or go do something fun for a day or the afternoon. So I can focus on something, getting something clean without it like being messed up 20 seconds later. And he actually, a couple months ago, took them away for a weekend. And I think people thought I was crazy because I didn't go. But it actually was one of the most relaxing couple days that I've had because I was able to get things clean and they stayed that way. And I took the dogs for walks and was able to have some like quiet time that way. And so that's for me.
Well, my kids are in school, yeah, so I feel like I get an adequate amount of breaks. But in the summer months or weekends, if I am feeling overwhelmed, I like to get outside, sit and read or take a walk, go on a hike or just garden, yard work. But when my kids were little and breaks were harder to come by, I had a really set schedule for my children, nap times. I mean, that was like, just, that was the best time. They had early bedtimes, and the early bedtimes were huge. I mean, my kids have always had fairly early bedtimes. I don't, even now they would say they're way too early. But 6:30, 7 o'clock, those evenings were for me, Josh, and it was really fundamental for me not losing my mind.
For me, like getting outside in the garden or getting together with friends, doing a workout. I don't need like huge big breaks or anything. Like they're older now and they'll go outside after dinner or after school and go play for like 2 hours. So I don't have the same like intensity that I did when they were little, but when they were little, we'd go to the Y and they'd go play in the play area for an hour and I'd go work out. So I've always kind of been able to, I don't know.
I would say it's transitioned to more she needs a break from me now.
Well, yeah, now the break in time.
I hear you say that. Don't you have like some mountain thing to go do? I don't hear you say that as a kid.
No.
All right, so the next one fits into that too with exercise. Where in the world do you fit exercise into your schedule?
Well, for me, when my kids are at school, mm-hmm. I like to exercise. I try to do it 5 days a week. So when I drop them off at school, I go home 30 minutes, either taking a walk on the treadmill or just Pilates. That's my exercise of choice. But like during the summer, it's a little more difficult because, you know, you're interrupted. And so I just try to include them, mm-hmm. whether that be just doing something active, you know, outside playing mm-hmm. a game of kickball or capture the flag or forcing them to go on a hike. Not their favorite thing, but they're always happy when they do. It's a few complaints in the beginning, but in the end, everybody's in a better mood. Mm-hmm. And that's another way that I find that I relax. Mm-hmm. Helps you burn off some steam.
Mm-hmm. Kim?
Yeah, I mean, it's changed because, like, when they were in school and I was working, I had, like, this, like, 3 hours where they were gone and I was free. So I would have my, like, complicated workout structure and stuff. So it's gotten a lot more fluid, but I have a bunch of stuff in the basement. Or I have a friend of mine down the block who has, like, a really awesome garage gym. So I'll go work out with her or we go on hikes or make the kids hike. Or they'll mountain bike and we'll hike. I'll hike on Little Mountain or kind of just make it work, because if I don't exercise, like, I'll be a nut. Or I'll just be like, ah! So I got to do stuff. So, and I don't watch television. I'm always like, give up the TV for working out.
She likes Seinfeld.
That's the only thing I'll watch. Other than that, just make it work.
Yeah, when the kids were little, I would take them on walks with the stroller. But there was a point where there were too many of them. So we'd get like, you know, 50 feet down the path and everybody would be done that had to walk because there wasn't room for everybody in the stroller. So I've had different points where I try to exercise where they're napping, or I've been able to start running again. So I've been doing that either just before or just after breakfast. We live right by the dike, and that's been good because I do need to exercise or I turn into an anxious mess also. So,
speaking of anxious mess, how do you organize your week to get all the housework done? Mm. So part of that question is kind of, you know, some people have a laundry day and organize it that way. Some people kind of try to keep on top of everything as they go. Kind of, how do you do it all? Esther, why don't you start?
Well, some seasons are easier than others. My grandma had a day for everything. She had a laundry day, and she had her dusting and vacuuming day, and her mopping day, and her grocery shopping day, and we kind of always made fun of her for it. But I have found that I have two laundry days. And those have actually been a lifesaver for me, because otherwise the laundry just was continuously going and then I'd have a pile, and I still have piles that need to be folded some days, but at least I get it all washed on one day and then we can deal with putting it away the next day. So having set days has been helpful for me. Some sort of a structure or a list, having kids help with the chores. Because even if you don't get it all done that week, you still have the list next week. You'd be like, oh, I didn't do that, but I'll do this week. So just kind of prioritize what has to be done and then be okay with some of it not getting done. Not that I'm always okay with it, but I try.
I do have a 1 day a week I do like all the deep cleaning, like bathrooms, dusting, mopping, and then the rest throughout the week I just kind of try to, like, every night I pick up the house. I do the laundry when the hamper's full or somebody needs something to wear. I try to take the weekends off of like any big chores and just kind of focus on family, you know, except for like just the daily pickup. That's like I found key for me. That's just pickup at the end of every day. Or the kids know that like you don't get one thing out until that first thing is put away. That is a rule they learned early. And, you know, that's something that's important to me, just so things don't pile up and we don't have. I mean, granted, the summer, the house is a little more messy, and I just accept that. You just go outside, and, you know, you're not in there as much, so you get out of sight, out of mind.
All right, this one came from the outside. This question was sent in. Sort of how do you prioritize? How do you know what to say yes to? With community service stuff, church stuff, school stuff, extracurriculars, all of the things, how do you decide kind of what to make time for and what not to make time for?
I don't know. That's a hard question.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I don't think I have a great answer for that one. That's one I think I'm still trying to figure out, but I do think, like, knowing your limits, knowing your family's limits. I mean, one of my kids, if she doesn't get to bed by 8:30, like, the next day is really difficult. So, you know, you got to know what kind of works for you and your family. But even then, it's tough.
Yeah, we've had lots of back and forth and up and down with this question. We have a couple of kids that have sensory processing disorder, which makes going out and being social somewhat difficult. They hold it together when we're out. When we get home, everything falls apart. So when we were first dealing with that with Jack, sorry, man, I was pregnant with Gemma, and we were a year-ish into the church plant, not even, and there were a lot of things that I could have done that I wanted to do, and I just had to say no for that season. I had to help him to be able to develop his social skills and get the tools to be able to go out and have fun with friends without having a meltdown every day. So we're constantly assessing kind of where we are right now. I think it feels like it's a moving target. I mean, like Shauna said, things are always changing, and sometimes we just have to adjust. We honestly hit it a bit of a bump recently. We had kind of slowed everything, like everything slowed down with COVID. So we added some different slower rhythms, and now everything's opened back up. We're trying to figure out, like, what can we add in, what should we add in, what do we need to cut. We had 2 kids in tears this week with being overwhelmed because we just had a lot going on. So just trying to figure out, and summers are difficult because there's no schedule and things just get more difficult. We're just trying. We always are trying to figure out. I mean, Jim always says, as Christians, the family should sacrifice. We also can't sacrifice our family. And so it's just reassessing and finding a balance that works for you in that time, and making sure that you're not doing too much, but also making sure you're not doing too little, and you don't always get it right. So.
Yeah.
we'll let you know when we get it
figure that one.
All right. With management of time, how about screen time and social media usage? What do we do with that? Kim, why don't you start that one for us?
Well, my kids don't have phones. They probably won't get them for a while. They don't need them. and they don't have social media, therefore. So we kind of have we don't really have much there, but this, but the program they're in at school, like all their stuff's on Google Classroom. So they're on the computer more than I would like them to be. Like, I would love to go back to 1980, basically, and like parent in 1980.
Yes.
That I would love to do, but I can't. So, like, just trying to talk to them about, like, they are supposed to, they have like a period of, like, a little bit of screen time they're allowed to have, but sometimes that gets pushed, and so they're allowed to 20 minutes after their schoolwork, but sometimes it, they're sneak, you know, it's tricky with the having to work on the computer, which I don't really like, but so just trying to deal with that. But I feel like people, like adults, can't even control themselves on phones or social media, so I really don't understand why people give them to them, to their kids at like 8 or 10 or 12. I'm like, I don't even understand this, because what adult can control themselves, really? Like, they're wasting all kinds of time on it or on social media, and so I don't know how we can expect kids to be wiser than adults. So I'm kind of anti-phone. I'm actually very anti-phone. Okay, there we go.
It came across.
Well, and I've told them, like, you only get one chance to be a kid.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get this time back. And, like, once you hit, like, 18 or whatever.
It's over.
Well, no, I mean, you're going to have a screen. You're going to be working in front of some kind of screen, or you're going to have a phone. And, like, for the next decades of your life, you're going to have something, like, somewhat controlling you. And this is the only time you get to be a kid. So go out and play and have fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Kim. My kids don't have phones. They don't have social media. And I don't, as far as the foreseeable future, we don't see that happening. We limit TV and video games. There are a certain number of days each week they can play, and it's usually for about an hour. We don't do TV every day. But, you know, I mean, the TV and the video games are flexible, especially in the summer. It's just, like Kim said, I want my kids to do other things, be creative, go outside, interact.
Mm-hmm. Right. Have relationships.
Yeah, like real relationships. So, yeah, and like being that a lot of the schoolwork is on computers is mm-hmm. difficult. And my oldest has email, so we do allow her to, you know, communicate on that. But we also have, you know, internet safety filters. And so, like, we use Bark. Like, they look for certain... It's actually very sensitive. It's kind of funny, some of the stuff I get alerted to. But it's good. I mean, it's better. It's just safe. So we have those kind of... We don't allow any laptops or anything in any bedrooms. It's all out in the open. I think that's it.
We don't have any hard and fast rules in terms of, like, time limits for TV. It's kind of more they ask. We have one TV, so they ask if they can watch something, and if it's yes, it's yes. If it's no, it's no. Usually we will say you can watch one movie, or you can watch two episodes, or one episode, or whatever, depending on the day. Harris usually gets to watch about an hour of some sort of educational something so that I can read to the other girls to the girls for school. And then Saturday mornings, we usually let them watch some cartoons if we don't have other things going on. With the video games, we kind of lucked out, maybe. The boys didn't luck out. Harris can't handle them. He turns into a monster. If he has any sort of screens or video games, and it's to the point where the siblings actually see it and are like, no, we'll wait. So we just don't do video games unless Harris is sleeping. And now that he doesn't nap, that doesn't happen as much either. Or if Jim or I are gone with him, then we'll let the boys play video games when we're gone. We also don't. They don't have smartphones, or Henry will get a flip phone once he gets his license, but we don't have them on social media. I haven't found social media helpful for myself. I got off like a month ago, yeah, I agree that I just don't think it's helpful right now, with all of the mental health stuff that's going on with kids culturally. I have a hard time seeing a benefit for having our kids on it, so.
All right, the next section is about what to do with all this free time you've just created for your kids. It's about chores. So the first part is, why are they important? Why do you feel like helping with the housework is something that your kids should be doing? Right, Esther.
Me? Okay. It builds responsibility, and it teaches them how to be adults. I feel like it's easier to teach them how to do things now when they're in the house than when they're at college or out on their own and they call me and ask me how to clean a toilet or do the laundry. But I've already shown them how, then we're not having that conversation over the phone. It also just helps them be part of, we're working together as a family. I think it gives them ownership in keeping the house clean, because if they helped to do it, and if they know that they're going to have to do that again on the other end, it hopefully will help them to maybe not make as big of a mess. Doesn't always work, but.
You never know when you're going to lose the use of your right hand.
All right, Kim, you got anything to add?
I think it, like Esther said, like it's, everyone has a role in the family. Like, Jason goes to work, makes the money for us to live on. I run the household and supervise the kids and do kind of the home stuff. Like, stuff doesn't just happen for them. Like, they're part of the family, and they have a role to play in our family, because that's where the Lord put them, in our family. So they have something to do there, and part of it is helping us, the household, with the house. And I also think that so much of life, or adult life, is doing things that you don't want to do with a good attitude. And I don't think you'll just, like, suddenly get a good attitude when you're 18. So, like, you have to learn how to do things as you're, when you're young, with a good attitude, whether you want to do it or not. And part of it is, I think, so much now, like, everybody's, all the kids just want to be, like, distracted and do fun, like, things that are funny, and that's not real life. Like, real life is not just being distracted all the time and having fun. So there's work that you need to do. Like, they mow the lawn and clean toilets and do all the fun chores and help around the house, because that's part of life.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a sub-question on that?
Yeah.
At what age do you think is appropriate to start a certain level of chores, whether it's, like, Olivia to make her bed, for example? Clears her table, obviously. But I'm just curious, like, because we started a little bit of choring at home, three things, with a little scented at the end of the week. Not interesting. This is a horrible idea.
You got enough to use, Sandra.
The money incentive doesn't intrigue a five-year-old, because she doesn't understand where money comes from, and she thinks everything from Target, and whatever. So she doesn't need that care. And so, but I'm just curious. I don't. What is a good incentive? I mean, maybe it might be kids specific. I don't know. But for a 5-year-old, like, or what would be a good age to start, or what would a beginning chore look like?
Are you going to answer that, Esther?
So I pretty much start them with, as soon as they can dump toys out of a toy box, they also can put them back in.
Yeah.
So we make them help clean up the messes they make when they're little. Henry. I had a battle with him when he was like 18 months old, because he had emptied the entire Tupperware cupboard. And I wanted him to put it back, and he knew what I wanted him to do, and he didn't want to do it. And so we sat there for half an hour. And he eventually decided that he wanted to do something else, so he helped me put them back. But you just, part of it, you kind of do it with them. But also, we've done chore charts before, like when they were younger, sticker charts. And once they get so many stickers, you can have whatever your kid likes, some little toy or some, like, there's nothing wrong with having incentives, I don't think.
But earning stickers means more than earning money somehow.
Right.
Yeah, it does.
But for little people, yeah.
It does. When you're 5, it does.
Yeah. Once they reach, like, whatever age that is where money is a big deal to them, then you could switch over to something like that. But having those incentives when they're little does help to make them want to do it.
You want to elaborate a little more on our chore system?
So we have a rotating chore system in our house, with
and it's kind of room by room. I tried doing like all of the different chores and it became too confusing for me. So we have this kid, or two kids, because kitchen is a big job, have kitchen. This kid has living room and dining room. This kid has, you know, playroom and bathroom or whatever it is. So we have them rotating. They'll have it for a week. And I have a print up of all of the jobs involved in that chore. And so they can look at it, and we just have it in like page protectors so that I'm not having to reprint a new one every week. But they can look at that and see like, okay, today I'm supposed to do this, this, and this, and today I'm supposed to do this, this, and this. And so that has worked really well for us. At least even if they don't hit all of the extra dusting or the wiping the windows down or whatever, the main ones get done every day. And so that's been huge for us, being able to get those things done. And then they rotate, and different kids do focus on different chores because they prefer to do them, or they see them more or something, I'm not sure. But so I know even if this kid didn't get this done, hopefully the next week the next kid will hit it a little more detail. We tried doing a payment system and it was hard for us to keep up on it, so we kind of just dropped that. There are a lot of great systems out there for paying them for chores if that's something you want to do, but yeah, I kept forgetting, so we just didn't. Sorry. In the mornings usually is when they do their chores, right after breakfast. So we do breakfast, they all go get dressed, and then they do their chores before they start their school. Ideally, in the afternoon, we do a quick run-through, like sometime late afternoon or right before dinner. Doesn't always happen, depending on, you know, if we're out running errands or if they're playing outside and having fun and it's quiet in the house, I just let them stay outside. In terms of dishes, like the kitchen people, whoever has that job, they'll do the morning dishes, but then the girls will usually do lunch dishes, and then the boys will do the evening kitchen cleanup and dinner dishes, so that's how we do things at our house.
All right, we are going to move on to cooking. Any tips on coming up with interesting food 7 days a week?
I don't know that we have interesting foods that I come up with. But I just have a pretty regular rotation that if everybody likes it, that's a win. I'm going to put that in the rotation. I have had the kids in the past, I've asked for suggestions. Do you have a suggestion for dinner this week? I've had them actually prepare. They suggest and then they prepare the meal. And that's something that they like doing. I was going to do that every week. And after a couple weeks, they got bored of it. So now we just do it occasionally. I thought that was kind of a cool experience for them to prepare a meal, with my help. But yeah, as far as interesting, not so much, but food that, you know, they'll eat, and that hopefully the whole family can enjoy. Yeah, I think so, but it's just I don't know. Dinners are just a challenging time for me because I do have some picky eaters. And so once I find a food, like I said, it's in the rotation and we just keep on rotating.
I
like to cook interesting food myself, so I do have a tendency to get overcomplicated sometimes.
Sometimes it's very interesting.
And takes a long time. I tend to get off on tangents or something, but I do have, there's some good food blogs and websites out there that we could share or that I like to get stuff from, but on the whole, everyone's a pretty good eater in my house. They were pickier when they were younger, but everybody's come along well now. And eats vegetables, and they'll eat sog paneer, or they'll eat whatever, mostly that I decide to make. So, but I do have some sort of standards that I stick to also, so.
What is sog paneer?
It's Indian spinach with the sog is the spinach, and then there's certain Indian cheese that you make.
Basically, just kind of taking the dial and slowly.
No, I mean, I do it to myself, though, because then sometimes I decide I'm going to make the naan, too, and then it's 3 hours of cooking for dinner.
About the interesting knob.
Oh.
Like blowing a frog.
I get off on tangents, though, sometimes, so.
Nice.
So with that, do you guys do menu planning or menu or food prep, meal prep beforehand? Is there any of that to make sure that stuff is ready, or how do you?
How
do you get dinner made every night?
Yeah, I usually plan for the week, like on Sunday night or even Monday morning, like what we're going to have for the week. And then depending on what I'm doing that day, like sometimes, yeah, I have to chop up the vegetables or whatever earlier in the day. If we don't have anything in the afternoon, I just do it all, you know, after school. But yeah, it's really just what's going on a given day.
Mm-hmm. I try to meal plan, and when I do, it makes everything go a lot smoother.
Mm-hmm.
I usually base off of, like, we have meals that I know everybody will eat. Sometimes there's something new that I want to try. But if I don't menu plan, then I usually have food that goes bad in the fridge, or I have, I hit a wall of, like, I don't even know what to make for dinner, and my brain will not help me out at all. So it goes a lot easier for me if I do menu plan. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what are some of those go-to easy meals? A couple of them that your kids will eat, they're easy to make, you do it all the time.
For us, different variations of tacos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
burrito bowls, those types of things. Everybody can put what they want on it.
Mm-hmm.
Greek wraps, just like feta chicken and garbanzo beans, cucumbers and yogurt, those types of things. Same idea, kids can put what they want on it and they're easy to make. We do salad nights where, like, I just put a bunch of different salad toppings and different proteins and they can put together what they want. And then soups, those are ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say a lot of different soups. And, like, I found they'll eat most vegetables if they're pureed in with an immersion blender into a soup. And then there's, like, a big piece of focaccia or, like, piece of bread to go with it. Like, there's been all kinds of things that have been hidden in soups. That, that he will eat, that he doesn't even know he's eating. Like, Jason's not a big squash fan, but when it's in a soup, he doesn't know the difference. So. Lots of soups and, yeah. Different chicken things, and they like fried rice for lunch, or again, any kind of taco. Tomato soup with like bread and cheese and salami, and everybody picks their thing, or curry. Everyone will eat like any kind of curry, basically. So
there's a lot of different things you can do with pasta, too.
Yes, lots of pasta things. Cut up kale and goat cheese and sausage, and there we go. Or well, yeah, that's not a go-to easy one. That's a bit of a, that's my tangent again. Yeah, I know. That's me going off on a tangent.
Yeah, every Friday is pizza night in our house, so that's my favorite night.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how do you get the picky kids to eat?
That's one of the, actually, we have a child who loves their dino nuggets. Yeah, and that's an option if they absolutely abhor what we're having for dinner. I'm like, okay, then you're having dino nuggets. Yeah, it can be really challenging. Well, Esther and I were talking actually at dinner about hiding vegetables in foods, and that's always a good option. Like smoothies, if you make a berry smoothie, you could put dark green stuff in it, and they'll never know that it's, there's greens in there. But yeah, it can be really challenging. Like I said, I do have a couple picky eaters. That's probably my fault. I don't know, when they were babies, I probably just gave up too quick. But I have a picky breakfast eater, and then I have a picky dinner eater. And so it's just difficult. But I try to just make foods that I know they do enjoy, or put a variety of options, side dishes or whatever, so I know there's at least going to be something on the table that they will like. If there's something that I know they absolutely don't like, I don't make them eat it. I mean, we had some major battles in the beginning, and there's been some green bean incidents. I don't even want to get into I mean, it was just the battle of the century. And I just learned that the battle is just not worth it to me.
Right.
So I do make them eat their vegetables, but I choose vegetables that I know they can tolerate or like. And that's all I got for that one.
I grew up with kind of like, if it's on your plate, you eat it. I remember gagging on some things as a kid, and I didn't really want to do that, but also realized that sometimes they're just being picky for no reason. We also have, like I said, some sensory kids, so like sometimes texture or flavor actually is really a big turnoff for them. So my dad always did make us have what he called a no thank you helping. So basically, if you don't like it, you say no thank you, you get a little tiny spoonful, and you just have to try it. That's all we had to do. So we have done that quite a bit. If I'm making something that I know this kid really hates, I always try to have like bread or crackers or something, and then they can have their like, you have to eat so many bites, and then you can be done and just fill up on bread or fill up on chips or vegetable that you like or whatever it is. But you have to eat this many bites or you have to at least try it, so that they, because sometimes things change and they actually decide they like it. Jack eats a lot more food than he used to when he was 5. So yeah, that's, it just kind of, you want them to eat, but you also don't want to have a battle at every single meal. So I try to make it so that it's just a little battle if it has to be a battle.
Right, which leads into questions of discipline. First off, why is it necessary to discipline children? Why is that an important thing to order and organize your home? Kim, why don't you start us off with it?
Well, I first said because if you don't, your life will be miserable for 18 years. Like, you'll hate it. But I think in general, discipline has gotten a bad rap over the years. And, I mean, probably often for good reason. Like, I mean, I know I was disciplined for discipline's sake. Like, I wasn't disciplined. Like, there was no nuance to when how I was disciplined. Like, my dad was mad, I got in trouble. And so I think trying to look at discipline, like, not disciplining because you're angry, but disciplining when you see something that is, like, a willful disobedience or something that can is, like, deceitful. Like, you're disciplining with a purpose to sort of try to root out some tendencies that you see in your kids that are not going to be helpful for them as they get older. What did I say? I said it has to be done in love and with wisdom, but also see their heart and to get rid of the willful disobedience. Also, the spiritual aspect is because the Lord commands us to. Proverbs 3:11-12 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father of the son he delights in." And I think maybe hopefully through the way we discipline our children, like our children will be able to see the discipline that the Lord will have for them in their lives, and they won't like turn it into a shaking of the fist at the Lord. They'll like see that sometimes there are things that need to be taken from us or need boundaries that we need to respect or rules that we've broken, and I don't know, I think, at least I hope that some of it will help them in their later years to see where the Lord might have to discipline them. And I also just think kids need to have boundaries and rules and then consequences when they break those boundaries, because boundaries are good for all of us. There's things that are not allowed as we're adults and things that are not allowed as kids. And I also think that one of the things I know that was important that was told to me was don't say something to them that you're not willing to back up, or don't make empty threats, and don't train them to ignore you by just saying things and then not following through, because our kids can see through us very easily, and they're like, oh, mom's not going to do anything, so it doesn't matter. And so, I don't know, I think discipline's super important, and also because if you don't have discipline, like, you're not going to be able to get them to do chores or to be helpful around the house. Like, they're just going to be kind of, you know, unmanageable. And so part of it is that you want them to be manageable in your home and for them to respect authority in the home, and then as they get older, when the authority is outside of the home. So, yeah, I think discipline and discipline
disciplined well is important.
Sounds very rational and calm. But you ask these guys, they're like, yeah, most of the time.
I don't yell.
Most of the time. I don't yell. Not all the time.
I don't yell.
Yes, Mary.
You found a much nicer verse than I did. The first one that I came up with when looking for verses on discipline, it says, discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. I mean, but I do strongly believe that, like, God tells us to discipline, and he tells us to discipline for a reason. If you teach your kid early on not to run away from you, mm-hmm. you don't have to worry about them running across the parking lot when you call them back. And that's, you know, like the very practical, you don't want them to hit by your car. But there's also, you want them to learn to follow the Lord. You want them to learn discipline that goes along with that. And if they're learning natural consequences when they're young, hopefully when they reach teens and adults, they will already understand that concept. And if there are natural consequences, it won't be as devastating to them. And I don't know, I just feel like if we teach them when they're young, mm-hmm. It's going to go better for them when they get older. Mm-hmm. And it's not just discipline in terms of punishment. There's also right. teaching them to steward their money. Mm-hmm. If they are saving up for something, rather than us just giving it to them, even if we could give it to them, it teaches them the value of working for it and stewarding their money to save. Like, do I want to blow it all on this candy bar, or should I save it so I can get mm-hmm. whatever this bigger thing is I want down the road? Teaching them to be kind to their friend even when their friend is unkind to them. All of those things do fall under different types of discipline. Mm-hmm. Training them to try different foods, because you might find that you like it and it's actually good for you. It's better for you to eat your vegetables than just to eat macaroni and cheese all the time. Like, mm-hmm. there's all sorts of different types of discipline. It's not just punishment, which is how we often think of it. I think that, and all of them are good and need to be done. God puts us in our kids' lives for a reason. They mm-hmm. have to have some sort of structure and something solid. And if we don't give them that, we're actually robbing them of a lot of joy later on.
So how does discipline change as kids age? What are some of the things that work when they're young and some that work as they're not so young?
Mm-hmm. As they get older, it does become less physical and hands-on and a lot more verbal. Consequences change. You know, when they're little, you pick them up and you move them and distract them to something else, or you slap them on the hand or spank them. When they're 16, it's not as easy to do that. But, especially when they're taller than you. They do understand now. You can have a conversation about it rather than it just, and they will actually understand what you're saying. When they're little and they're not going to understand why they shouldn't have hit their brother, you just say, don't do that, and you smack them too on the hand so that they realize they're not supposed to do that. But you can't do that with a 16-year-old. I have found it depends on the kid, on their age, on the circumstance. Mm-hmm. Early on, spanking was more effective for some of our children. Henry, we could just look at him and say no, and he would cry. With Jack...
and it still works now that he's 16.
With Jack, we had bedtime battles forever with him. We would go in and spank him and put him back in his bed, and he would be back up 30 seconds later and laughing. And we realized later on that because he needed the deep pressure with sensory processing disorder, that actually was not a punishment that worked for him. For him, we had to put him in a timeout, and it was like we took away all of his birthdays and Christmases for the next 2 years. It was the worst thing in the world for him to be separated. But he learned from that. So, I mean, I think it's different kids need different things, and you have to be willing to kind of try different things and see what will work. We have used timeouts. We've taken privileges away. I have been known to make my 16-year-old and 11-year-old sit on the couch and hold hands for 5 minutes because they were arguing. And they wouldn't stop, and I couldn't take anymore. So they got to sit on the couch and hold hands. We set the timer. Usually by the end of that time, they're either both mad at me, and it's taken away the arguing, or they're laughing, and they're friends again. I've also surprised them with squirting them with a squirt bottle because they were fighting. There's been lots of, the element of surprise sometimes actually is really effective. At all ages. does that answer that?
Okay. I got some good ideas. Thank you.
Squirt bottle idea.
I have done the squirt bottle.
Yeah.
You have?
Yes.
Oh, gosh, I never thought of that.
Darn it. That's a good one.
Hey, there's still time.
There's plenty of time. Oh, there's plenty of time and plenty of occurrences, so I might have to go to the dollar store tomorrow.
We had one kid that would scream at the dinner table, every single dinner table. It was one of the girls. Yeah. I don't remember which one, but I just remember, like, I can't take this anymore. And so, yeah, we just had a squirt bottle. And every time she screamed, I squirted her. And she got over it. And she stopped. So.
We train our cats the same way.
Yeah, which is why we had the squirt bottle. But I was like, I wonder if this would work on kids.
Oh, gosh, I never thought of this.
All right, the last questions are on organization. The first one being, how do you manage all of your paperwork? Mail, school flyers, homework, documents, what do you know, or what do you keep and what do you get rid of? Yeah. Right, Kim.
I mean, that's a hard one, I think. I mean, I have a filing cabinet. I put a pile of stuff on top of the filing cabinet, and at some point I file the stuff in the filing cabinet.
I try to get most of it into the fireplace.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jason's usually like, why are you saving this? So he kind of helps with that. A lot of the, I mean, we try to save some of the kids' stuff, but, I mean, now that they're here, I wasn't expecting them to be here. But sometimes art projects do find their way into the recycling.
Sometimes.
I'm trying to be generous. Yeah, there's just, you can't handle all the paperwork that comes in. Like, I don't know, all these liability, like, all kinds of agreements, like, all the stuff with the credit cards, like, all these, like, I try to look through stuff and save what I think is important. I don't think there's any magic system, I don't, unless you have one.
Well, I don't know, like, stuff that comes home from school, such as, like, permission slips,
oh,
or
yeah,
hot lunch forms or whatever, I deal with those as soon as I get them. Mm-hmm. Like, kids hand them to me, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do this now, give it back to you. Otherwise, I'll forget.
Mm-hmm.
But stuff that doesn't need immediate attention that comes, I have a designated drawer in the kitchen, and I just put it in there. Every 2 weeks or so, I go through it, and sometimes I'm like, ooh, forgot to do that. But most of the time, it's just, it's going in the garbage,
yeah,
or filing away with mail, bills. Like, I do have a designated folder for that, that I just, as soon as they come in, put them in there, and then go through it once or twice a week. Yeah, that's how we do it.
Be a lot less now, though, right? Because we have almost like all,
yeah,
online,
most
right?
Stuff online.
Yeah.
Paying most of the bills online.
When I worked in a doctor's office, and I had to do the mail, and so I got in the habit of just going through and sorting it all as it came in, because that's what I had to do at the doctor's office, and so that's what I do at home. When I check the mail, I just decide right there, bill, need to keep, recycling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shred wherever they need to go, and I just do it then so that it doesn't pile up.
You have to make sure you keep those piles straight, or your husband
might
shred all
of your... I do, or my husband will shred things.
Shred the same pile.
Hypothetically.
He thought he was helping.
This one was kind of already answered, but how do you balance extracurricular activities and homework, specifically as kids get a little bit older? How do you find time in the evening for all of that?
Well, my girls have done a really great job maintaining homework, keeping up on it while they're involved in activities. So I haven't really had to do a lot of work in that aspect. They're good about staying on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do check, like, the school portal often, that has, you know, all their grades and assignments. So if they know that if anything's missing or their schoolwork is falling, that those activities will be sidelined.
Mm-hmm. They don't, but the program they're in for school, they don't really have homework. Like, they have their assignments during the day, and once they're done with that, they're done. And we're kind of not that big of extracurricular activities like sports and stuff. They both really like to have free time on their own. They took over my garden bench in the basement, so they have like an RC car bike headquarters where they're like either puttering with something. They like RC cars and their mountain bikes, and so they'll do something on like that downstairs, or they go out and play with kids in the neighborhood or ride bikes. Like, we don't really do a lot of organized sports or activities really right now. Jason taught them how to use power tools, so they've made a bike trailer and a lemonade stand out of like old pallets and wood, and like they kind of just like to putter and do stuff on their own. So now they have some lawn mowing jobs now, so they're kind of psyched about making money. So they kind of take care of that stuff themselves.
No circular saw, no table saw.
Good to have.
Just the chop saw.
Chop saw, yeah, that's like pretty controlled.
And drill, like the drills and stuff, I don't know. So they kind of have full run of the basement mostly.
All right, how about bedtimes? What time do your kids go to bed? What does bedtime routine look like? What time do they get up?
Mine, the younger three, go to bed at 7:30 and hopefully are drifting off by 8. 12-year-old usually is heading to bed sometime between 8 and 8:30. The boys by 9. They're all up somewhere between 6 and 7. The routine has changed through the years. For Harris, currently, we read, sing a song, pray with him, and then sometimes we read to the girls, and sometimes we just have them read to themselves, and we pray with them. Mm-hmm. The boys take care of it all on their own.
Yeah, my 10-year-old, she goes in her room at 7, and usually will read a little bit, either to herself or we'll read to her. She still likes us to sing to her. And she's usually asleep by about 7:30. Faith goes,
that's impressive.
But she's up at 5:30.
No, 5:30.
but she's up at 5:30 no matter what time she goes to bed.
Wow.
So that is why she needs the early bedtime. Yeah. And it works. And she's tired. She's like, I mean, if it's like 8, she's probably in there like falling asleep right now. But Faith, she goes in her room at 8:30, and she reads or kind of doodles or whatever, but it's just kind of quiet time. And she's usually, I think, lights out around 9:15. Sometimes I'll still let her kind of read. I'm not as with her, you know, concerned. She's usually up by 7. Weekends and summers are a little more relaxed, but we try to maintain a pretty consistent bedtime.
I need the consistent bedtime, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're like the outliers, because they go to bed at like 10 o'clock.
I'm like, go to bed! And I go to bed. I don't know when they go to bed.
But, I mean, it also means that they wake up at like 8, and now Eli sometimes will sleep till 8:30. And I don't know, I like my, and with their school situation changing, like if they had been at regular school, they'd be at the bus at 6:50. So we're not like super early morning people. Like, I like to have that half an hour after Jason goes to
bed.
So we're probably, I'm sure I should tighten it up, but I kind of like the way it works right now. And they don't, I don't know, they don't certainly put themselves to bed any earlier.
And it works.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. We all have different families. They're all gonna work differently.
Yep.
All right, last question is just anything else to encourage parents? Anything else that you feel like they need to know? Kim, why don't you start us off on that?
Okay, well, I first wrote that the Lord knows your heart and sees your efforts. The Lord is gracious and trustworthy and sovereign over our parenting and over our children's salvation, and we can trust him with what we have on our plates, and just know that he's in control and that he loves you and he sees what you're doing and knows that you're trying. And then I also thought, don't be afraid to ask other Christian parents what they're doing. I feel like maybe it's just a woman thing, but oftentimes I feel like people, women compare themselves to like the mom blogs or the mom pictures or like kind of the stuff that's out there that I don't think is healthy. And either A, they don't probably have, maybe don't have a Christian worldview. They're not having the same goals for their families, or they have nannies and housekeepers. And like, so don't like compare yourself to anybody else. And if you have questions, I mean, not just us, but ask any other mom or any other woman in the church, older or younger, what they've been doing. And don't think that you're the only one with a question or a situation. Like, reach out and ask people.
Yeah, I don't know. I would just say cut yourself some slack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, forgive yourself when you mess up, because we all do. Mm-hmm. And just, yeah, offer grace to yourself. That's really, I mean, moms especially, I think just we can really beat ourselves up and, you know, blame ourselves if our kid is misbehaving or whatever it may be, and that's just not okay. Like, don't, when the day's over, just, if it was a bad day, pray about it, go to bed, tomorrow's a new day, start over, let it go.
Yeah, don't get too caught up in the method.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what works for your family, and then just be consistent, because that really is huge.
Mm-hmm.
We also don't want to create robots.
Right.
I think especially back in, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there was a lot of like, you do this, and that's not real obedience. So you want to teach your kids to love the Lord and to love their neighbors. That's really the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And stay humble.
Mm-hmm.
Be willing to apologize to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, because they know when you were mean to them. so you might as well own up to it and say sorry and then move forward. Ask forgiveness of the Lord when you do mess up and keep moving forward. We haven't arrived. We're all, as you've seen, like, there's lots of things where we're like, try this.
Right.
It's a lot of parenting is you try something, and if it doesn't work, then try something else. I mean, that's life. You just trust the Lord and do the best that you can. Ask for help. Do a lot of praying.
Mm-hmm.
and stay in the Word, and those are the most important things. So...